CFO Radio is the only radio show that explores the passion of the CFO and examines the innermost thoughts of the financial world. Financial perspectives for tomorrow. Welcome to CFO Radio. I'm Lorraine Chilvers. Lee, if you'd like to introduce our sponsors.
Absolutely. Today's show is sponsored by Delaney Consulting LLC, providing financial leadership to fast-growing companies, interim management, and executive placement for the finance function. Visit DelaneyLLC.com and learn why 100% of their clients describe Delaney services as outstanding and excellent. Also, the SAP Business by Design solution is a single integrated business management solution that delivers the best of SAP software on demand, offering the benefits of larger applications without the need for a costly IT infrastructure. And Financial Executives International, the preeminent association for CFOs and other financial executives. We are sponsored by the Atlanta chapter.
And this week's CFO Radio News. Earlier this month, Fleet Owner magazine stated, safety and fuel are the leading concerns for today's CFOs. The uncertainty surrounding future fuel prices and the potential cost of new safety regulations are top of the list of concerns among transportation CFOs surveyed by finance giant GE Capital Americas. GE Capital surveyed 530 CFOs across seven industries, including manufacturing, retail, food and beverage, and technology. Almost half, 47% of transportation CFOs indicated they were most concerned about safety regulations, replacing environmental regulations as the top area of concern noted in the same survey conducted earlier in the year. All the industries in GE Capital's survey, except healthcare, ranked the U.S. budget deficit as its biggest concern for the U.S. economy in 2010. Dan Clark noted that 36% of the transportation CFOs surveyed cited healthcare costs as a major concern, with 45% labeling it as a moderate worry. Transport CFOs reported a significant increase in expectations for revenue growth over the next 6 months, with 77% expecting revenue growth for the rest of 2010, compared to 56% previously. In keeping with those revenue growth expectations, the transportation industry ranks first in the category of expected profitability and near the top for capital expenditures in 2010. For more on that report, please go to Fleet Owner magazine. Well, today, Steve Voorhees joins us to discuss the role of the CFO. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Thanks, Lorraine.
Well, Steve, you're the Executive Vice President, Chief Financial Officer, and Chief Administrative Officer of Rock10, a leading manufacturer of packaging and merchandising displays. With annual revenues of $3 billion, the company operates more than 90 locations in the U.S., Canada, Mexico, Chile, and Argentina. Prior to joining Rock10, you were an executive at Sonat Inc., a diversified energy company engaged in the exploration and production of natural gas, interstate transmission of natural gas, and energy services. You received your BA in Economics and Mathematics from Northwestern University and your MBA from the Darden School at the University of Virginia. Separate from this, you are the starting first baseman for the Greater Atlanta Braves of the Men's Senior Baseball League. Well, I must say that's a new one for CFO Radio. Stephen, in your current role, you oversee accounting, finance, IT, and also supply chain for Rock10. You've taken a slightly untraditional career path leading to your role as the CFO. Tell us about where you started and what led you to move into finance.
Sure, Lorraine. Growing up, I had very little idea of what I really wanted to do. If I had to classify a career objective, it would have been starting first baseman for the New York Yankees, not CFO. I did like math. I played with baseball statistics as much as anything growing up as a hobby. I went to college. I majored in econ and math and still did not have a good idea of what I wanted to do. However, I found out about business school and specifically business school cases and just found myself very passionate about business and really enjoyed case study business school. Virginia is 100% case study, and the program is your three cases a day. You're working with a study group, which in my case was about five people. And, you spend the day going to class, preparing for the next day with that group. And I just really enjoyed that environment. Coming out of business school, I got a job with Sonat in corporate planning, also working on projects with a small group of people. And I was able to, at Sonat, replicate the environment I enjoyed in business school through a variety of positions, including planning, general management, and finally, at the time our company was acquired, I was in charge of the commercial activities of our trading operations, our natural gas marketing and power marketing operations.
So that's the buy and the sell.
That's exactly the buy and the sell. When our company was acquired, I did speak with El Paso about various jobs, and they brought up the opportunity of potentially going into finance, which I ultimately decided not to do. However, a person I worked with at Sonat, Jim Rubright, at the time of the acquisition, came over to Rockton as CEO. And after he'd been at Rockton for about a year, he asked me to come over to Rockton as CFO. And he wanted me to partner with him to try to improve Rockton. I had thought about finance because of the transition from Sonat and thought it was a terrific opportunity. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Jim, and that was a added benefit of being able to go to Rocktown. And subsequent, as I've been at Rocktown, I really enjoy the people I work with.
You've touched on some very specific elements there that I'd like to perhaps deep dive into. One of the first elements that I noticed is you, like many of us, didn't really know what we wanted to do while we were in university. And many of us who mentor students today, they seem to have the expectation that they should know. But really, your first foot, sometimes it's a different path.
Exactly.
So you went down that path and you sort of tripped into finance. Clearly, you had a strong mathematical mind.
Right. I think finance, if I would have known about finance, I think at the time I was in college, it would have attracted me more, but I really was not aware of that as being a possible vocation.
And were you playing baseball at the time?
I stopped playing baseball after I got out of Little League. I think I stopped when I was 12 or 13, and it was a function of my talent at the time. I was not good enough to make the teams in the schools I was in attendance at.
Interesting. So here you are, the CEO of the company has essentially headhunted you. He's personally asked you. That's kind of difficult to decline when you've got a good relationship with the person.
It was a difficult decision for me. I was in Birmingham at the time and had started my own business with somebody I'd worked with at Sonat, and it would have been very easy for me to stay in Birmingham. The job in Atlanta required relocation, and so it ended up being a difficult decision. But for me, I think it was a terrific decision, the right decision for me.
So here you are. You're CFO of a major corporation. And obviously, in the current economy, we've got a lot of challenges. We are hopefully on the upswing. But many employees, as we look at them, you're leading a team, quite a large team. In fact, what size of personnel reports to you?
About 350.
Wow. Okay. So you're leading a finance team. You're leading a team of people. Many employees today are looking at their current employer just as you looked and made that decision. And the grass is often greener elsewhere. You made that transition yourself. Sometimes employees use this kind of an economy to switch places. Do you have any particular advice for somebody that's going through and looking at that decision as you did? How might they perhaps look to go into finance?
First, I think the thought of going into finance is a great thought to have. Finance is a very broad and also deep area. I think career-wise, it's a secure area. It would be finance jobs in any business. And so I think long-term, it's a terrific opportunity. I think it can be difficult to find an opportunity. And the best way to find an opportunity is go out and identify and express that you're interested in finding an opportunity in finance. I would say for many of the financial functions, they are very technical. And you should probably take the time to develop the training, the education in a particular area that would be of interest to you. And then, and that, once you have that training and education, it may require going to school at night in accounting, or a lot of people go to business school at night to develop that expertise. And I think that's an important element of making the transition.
Now, do you find that you use some of that case study experience from your business school life?
Every day. So the case study method takes specific situations and tees up the problems with the situation. I think one thing I did not realize in business school is in case study, all of the facts are laid out for you. And
in real life,
I think I end up spending or can spend 90 to 95% of my time developing the facts to be able to get the information in a form to where it's possible to make a decision or have a discussion about the issues at hand.
That being said, I think also for those listening today, it helps you look at issues from a problem-solving angle rather than from a, oh my gosh, we're drowning angle. And very often the problems that you've got to solve, it's not a one-step process.
Exactly.
And also it's a team environment, 350 headcount. I would imagine you probably have some pretty good project managers as well as accountants and finance folks.
We do. We have many areas that have full-time project managers to deal with the items which are not part of transaction processing or the day-to-day operations of the business.
Well, the CFO role is often one of leading the numbers. We've talked a little bit about mathematics and so forth, yet it's also one of mentoring the team. An organization, whether it's operational or financial, is only as good as the people in it. How do you assess the performance of the finance organization at Rock 10?
I think a lot of people who look at performance try to come up with metrics for evaluating performance, and we will do that. Oftentimes, you can't predict what projects you're going to be working on, and oftentimes the projects you think you're going to be working on, you're not going to be working on because something else will come up, which would be higher priority. So what we've done at Rock 10, we've come up with some criteria for that I find useful in evaluating any finance function. The criteria end up being an acronym. The acronym is ACTIVE, which signifies that finance function should be proactive rather than passive or act in the staff role. I want to go through the acronym now. I think A.
Yeah, I think please do.
Okay, A is for accuracy. We need to be accurate in closing the books, so on and so forth. We need to be compliant, particularly with Sarbanes-Oxley. We need to be timely, so we need to be able to close the books accurately in compliance on a timely basis. If you look at this in terms of Maslow's need hierarchy, this is like eating, sleeping. You've got to do that. And if you're not doing that, don't worry too much about doing the other more fun stuff. And we've had situations at Rock 10 to where we have to work at that. It is not easy to do. I think a lot of people think that it is easy to close the books, it is easy to make all the judgments, accumulate all the data and knowledge to do that. But we look at accuracy, compliance, and timeliness as being the first three things we need
core,
to do.
That's the core elements.
Yeah, then we move on to more of what I think is the fun stuff. Eyes for intelligence, that our job is to provide data and analysis which is of use to the business. So it'd be sales trends, cost trends, and hopefully the managers of the business can take that information and apply it to make better decisions. V is for value added. We have an objective for the finance functions at Rock 10 to come up with our own ideas to take out cost or add value each and every year, and we do that, and that helps us stay in touch with the business. We're just not a silo doing. Closing the books and as an example. And then E's for efficiency. We need to do all of that extremely efficiently and cost effectively. So I find with the ACTIVE acronym, I can review just about any finance function, whether it be accounting, tax, treasury, and get a good idea of how I believe the function's going. And on the same hand, the people who are in the function can go through and say, I'm doing well on these areas and I need to improve in these other areas.
That's a great acronym. I think it gives you a visual, gives you a path as well with the foundational element. And then this is the, if you've got those covered and you're doing well there, then these are the ones that you can go to as phase 2 and phase 3.
Right.
How does that help you in terms of, let's say, you're planning for next year? Would you actually sit down in your meetings and talk about the active solution? Are we at the ACT, or are we trying to be efficient and we haven't really met the first requirements?
We do it on a review basis and also going forward. In fact, our largest division, Consumer Packaging, is having a meeting of their finance people next week. And our chief accounting officer is giving a presentation on how we're doing on active and how we're doing what we're planning to do over the next year with respect to performance along those measures.
That's terrific, and I think our listeners should be able to learn a lot from that. Well, moving on a little bit in terms of taking that active as our foundation for today's conversation, Rock10 has been highly acquisitive. Many companies that grow, adding sales through organic means is one way, but acquiring companies is another. And the CFO often leads the role not only of pursuing potential companies to acquire, but also of integrating companies post-acquisition. With Rock10 having acquired many companies over time, what have you learned from this in relation to the integration, whether it be the people, the process, or the systems?
Probably the primary learning is every situation is very different. We've done two large acquisitions over the past 5 years, one of Gulf States, which was a folding carton business with a very low-cost bleached paperboard mill in Alabama. We acquired the business, and the corporation that we acquired it from survived, meaning that we did not have to hire any of the people who were doing the what we call the home office functions. And that was a challenge for us because we needed to take on those responsibilities day one. The business, our primary objective in the business was to keep the business running. And so the integration provided us opportunities, but we really needed to maintain the focus of the existing business on the business. We made another acquisition in March of 2008 of Southern Container, which was an unbelievably successful business in its own right. And we, in fact, took our corrugated packaging business and integrated that into the management structure of Southern Container, which was a challenge. I thought when we started the Gulf States integration that it was important to have a focal point as a project manager for the integration, and pretty rapidly found out that that was not the best way to go. So for our integration, the integration is so complex, there's no single person, nor is it necessary to have a single person that knows everything about everything. However, it is required to have a lot of coordination among the functional areas. So for both of these integrations, we ended up with a large project team that met regularly.
Like a project management office? Overseeing day-to-day and coordinating?
It was less a project management office than it was the owners of the various functions, whether it be benefits, accounting, tax, getting together on a regular basis and making sure that their activities with respect to the integration were on track and highly coordinated with the other activities.
So you had mentioned that you started out with maybe a one point person. Was that perhaps just too challenging for that one person to learn all the various aspects and keep all the moving parts, or was it more a case of it was better for the business owner to be owning that element of the task?
You've mentioned two things, both of which are true.
Oh, okay.
And I came to the conclusion it was impossible for any one person to know everything, and it was unnecessary. So the one person became a bottleneck in the being able to implement the integration, and the ownership of the business processes is job one, because they ultimately are accountable for, if it doesn't work, they're going to ask the business owner.
Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. So how long would that integration take? Let's say you're looking to do a similar sized operation and acquire that maybe in the future. What would you anticipate, having looked in the rear mirror, to plan for that expectation of, you may have hiring functions, you may have integration of compensation and benefits from an employee side, but then you've got the operations and you've got the financial reporting and all the other things that go with that.
Every situation is different, so I can't say there's not a specific number. I think it can take months, but the business has to operate correctly on day one. So just on day one, you need to be collecting money, you need to be able to pay your suppliers, and you need to be able to pay your employees, and then you try to come up with a process so you can improve that over time, and that can take months, or even in the case of a more complex, 1 year or 2 years to get the systems fully integrated into our business model.
Do you take that approach of integrating the systems? Some companies choose to leave the systems totally separate and use a consolidation package at that higher level.
We're on J.D. Edwards, and so we move everybody to J.D. Edwards over time. It may not be immediately. Many businesses that we acquire have very good systems for their business, and so if the system works, we won't necessarily change it. More often, we'll find that there are some economies and benefits to be able to integrate their entire business into our existing business from a system standpoint.
Well, that being said, many small companies today are looking for a large company such as yours to acquire them. And many of our listeners include these business owners. As a CFO, what are you looking for in the companies that you acquire? Is it maybe new technology, a new customer base, a geographic presence, or is it something else?
We're looking for quality people, a quality management team, quality assets. Our company, Rocktown, does not look for workout situations. So we would like to buy a business that makes us a better business. There's many dimensions that can make us a better business, but oftentimes if they haven't invested in their business, they haven't invested in their people, they're not going to be posting terrific financial results, and that would be less of an interest. So we tend to look at quality. We also look for a business which is highly related to what we do, so you would not see us getting out of paperboard packaging from an acquisition standpoint, and we need to be able to add value to the business. For us and our businesses, it is important for the business to generate cash flow, and we need to be able to get it at a reasonable price. So if somebody has unreasonable price expectations, we obviously can't be interested because our objective is to make money for our shareholders, and that's inconsistent with overpaying for acquisitions.
Sure. And part of the challenge from the acquiree's perspective is that they often feel like their business is valued perhaps higher than it should be, or they want it to be valued higher than you would expect.
Right. But there is a market out there, and you will settle at a market clearing price, so to speak, of the business.
Sure. Well, some reports detail that as part of that acquisition, achieving the expected ROI might be the most difficult component of the acquisition. What do you see as the most challenging element of achieving that expected ROI in an acquisition?
I think it starts with having realistic expectations going into the acquisition. That can be very difficult because sellers try to portray their business in the most positive light, as you would expect them to. Oftentimes on the buying side, you can become excited about the business and have deal fever, and all of a sudden you can say, well, gee, this thing's going to be great. And by the time then you get into it and you find out all the bad stuff that you should have found out going in. So we worked very hard to come up with a realistic model for what the business is, including an integration plan that is owned by the business units. And in the course of doing that, by the time we get to a transaction, I feel like we very consistently have realistic expectations going in. If you have realistic expectations going in, you're very likely to achieve that expectation.
Well, many of our guests refer to the role of CFO becoming one of which that is not only combined in these heavy aspects of finance that you've talked about. We've talked a little bit about the accounting. We've talked a little bit about the finance. But you've also mentioned a thread through the discussions in terms of information, intelligence, systems, and data. And the role perhaps is now becoming one more combined with that of CIO, managing the information systems. How have you seen the role of the CFO change over time?
For me, my role's changed. I've taken on additional responsibility with Rocktown for the supply chain area. I now have some of the human resources areas reporting to me as well. I think that's a function of just I think our organization changing, or our organization is now a $3 billion company. We were a $1.5 billion company, and so my responsibilities have changed just because we're a bigger company. I'm a business partner with the CEO, so I have my unique role as I exist within Rockton. I'm not a CPA, so I have a very strong chief accounting officer. I'm not an information technology expert, so we also have a very strong chief information officer. In fact, everybody I work with, I think the world of, and then that makes my job easier. I think trying to generalize how the CFO role changes over time, I think, is very situation specific. I think it's important for the CFO to fit within the organization, the culture that they're in, and the organization that they are in.
And you seem to have a very team-oriented culture.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, let's jump back to something from earlier in your career. What has baseball taught you in relation to your variety of executive roles?
I told you growing up I would play around with baseball statistics. And I think one element of baseball is you can take the individual statistics of the individual players, add them up, and you will have a very strong predictor of how the team does. So that might indicate on the surface that baseball is an individual game and doesn't really matter that much how the team works. I found playing baseball has turned that thought process 180 degrees. So myself, my individual statistics will improve if I practice, if I'm in better shape. And the support of my teammates playing baseball, whether it be hints or just an attaboy or don't worry about striking out, allows me to perform better. And I found that same thing is true of the financial functions. Finance is extremely complex. Accounting is its own discipline, tax, treasury, cash management, so on and so forth. And so we need that specialized expertise. Then we need to be able to communicate that knowledge across the company to individual business situations. So we need very strong communication. And it's my challenge is to aggregate that specialized knowledge and turn it into good decisions and good processes. So it's very clear to me that finance is a team activity.
And, of course, it does end with the numbers, as in baseball, the one with the higher number wins at the end of the day, right?
Right.
Well, you've played a significant role not only in U.S. but also in international markets, and World News indicates today that much of the potential growth for the next decade for U.S. companies will likely come from international expansion. As today's leader at Rockton, how do you balance, perhaps I might describe it as the needs of the world, from your seat here in the U.S.?
Well, from my seat at Rockton, we're a manufacturing company. And we have 10,400 people working at Rockton, and our jobs are extremely valuable to ourselves, of course, and the country, because we help support the U.S. economy. A manufacturing job has a multiplier effect on the U.S. economy, and we need to be competitive. And for us to be competitive, that means low cost on a global basis. I think when you look at cost, a significant cost to us is the cost of health care to our company, and that's an issue for competitiveness in the U.S. Just to give you an idea, to provide health care benefits for our 10,000 employees, it cost us about $75 million per year. And our cost per employee has gone up 35% over the past 4 years, and that is not passed through in our product prices. So we need to be able to manage that cost as effectively as possible. A unintended positive consequence to me of the national healthcare discussion has caused me to be much more aware of the impact of healthcare on our company. And I worked with the leader of our benefits area over the past year to identify those costs and see what we could do about it. We went out and we conducted an RFP on our administrative component of healthcare, pharmaceutical benefits, the processing of medical bills as well, and reduced our cost significantly. If you look at the character of our cost, 75% to 80% of our cost are associated with what might be termed lifestyle inflicted diseases, whether it be diabetes, hypertension. It's not specifically, not everything is attributable to lifestyle, but a significant component is. And as a result of that, we're enrolling our employees in a program that allows them to become healthier. So they have the opportunity to go for a health care assessment. They will get a specific plan for what they need to do in order to make themselves healthier. Then lastly, I found there's a general lack of transparency of healthcare cost. I have some prescription drugs. I think it costs $20 because that's what the copay is. Well, that's not what the cost is. And so we're moving a good portion of our employees, including myself, to a high deductible plan to where we're going to see what the actual cost is. And we've been convinced that if our employees see the cost, that they'll be able to act on the cost and they will make better choices. So I'm excited about that program. I think it's going to have a combination of making us more competitive, and it's going to make our workforce healthier, which is good for everybody.
Healthier and happier employees. Love
that. That's right.
And I think you've just highlighted a very good example of, within Rock 10, the active with the E being efficiency.
Right.
Wonderful. Well, I'm afraid we have come to the end of our show. And before we leave and say goodbye, we have a tradition on the show to ask you your tip of the month, your CFO tip of the month. What is yours?
Finance is a team sport. So if it's a team activity, and I think for anyone involved in the finance area, it'd be helpful to consider finding or creating a great team that you enjoy working with and contributing to that team to your best of your ability. I think as a sport, this likely involve identifying your best position and playing to your strengths as compared to trying to cover up your weaknesses, but contribute to the team to the best of your ability. If you do that, then I think you're going to have fun and you're going to have a successful career.
That is a fabulous tip. Thank you very much. And thank you to Steve Voorhees, our guest for today, who shared his innermost thoughts on the role of the CFO. Thank you also to our contributors. Today we had an article from Fleet Owner Magazine. And to our sponsors, Delaney Consulting, providing CFOs and controllers to Fortune 1000 companies and fast-growing businesses alike. For more information about Delaney, please go to www.delaneyllc.com. Thanks goes also to SAP Business by Design, the software as a service business management solution for small to medium-sized companies. For more information, please log on to www.sap.com/SME. And to Financial Executive International, the Association for CFOs and Financial Executives. They can be found at financialexecutives.org. This and other thought leadership from today's CFO is available right from your computer at www.cforadio.com. If you are a CFO and would like to be a guest on the show, please contact us via the link on the web. Thank you for listening to CFO Radio. This is Lorraine Chilvers signing off until next time.